Good evening. All right, we're going to pick up back in the book of Leviticus, continue our study that we started on the five sacrifices in the book of Leviticus. And I just kind of gave some overview material last week. So this week we're going to look at chapter 1 in the burnt offering, the first one that's mentioned in Leviticus. And we'll go from this to the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the guilt and trespass offering, okay? So you'll probably see me the next 4-5 weeks or so as we work through this stuff, okay? So let's go to Leviticus chapter 1, and we'll just read a few verses here, and then we'll get started here. Okay, Leviticus 1:1, then Yahweh, or the I Am, called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when any man of you brings an offering to Yahweh, you shall bring your offering of animals from the herd or the flock. Now he's going to go on from here and break down if it's from the herd, which would be an ox, bullock type of a thing, and then the flock would be a sheep or a goat. Verse 3, if his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it a male without defect. He shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting that he may be accepted before Yahweh. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. Okay, he shall slay the young bull before the Lord, before I Am, Yahweh, and Aaron's sons, the priest shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood around on the altar that is at the doorway of the tent of meetings. This is obviously the bronze altar, okay? He shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priest, shall arrange the pieces, the head and the suet, over the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. Its entrails, however, and its legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer up in smoke all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire of soothing aroma to the Lord. Then he's going to go into verses 10 through 13. He's going to talk about if they bring a sheep or a goat, and it's going to have to be the same thing. It's going to be a male without defect. I'm saving time, jumping a few verses. Now let's drop down to verse 14. But if his offering to the Lord, or to the I Am, Yahweh, is a burnt offering of birds, then he, the offerer, shall bring his offering from the turtle doves or from young pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head and offer it up in smoke on the altar, and its blood is to be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall also take away its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar eastward to the place of the ashes. Then he shall tear it by its wings, but shall not sever it. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar, on the wood, which is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. So I talked to you last time I was in front of you. I said when the burnt offering, grain offering, peace offerings are always spoken of as soothing aromas or a sweet savor, meaning that this is pleasing to God, and these are the sacrifices that carry that connotation, all right? And I shared some information with you last week that there's more in the Hebrew word concepts that are communicated. Talking about it also, not only is it sweet smelling, but it also brings a sense of rest to God. Like, this thing's completed where I want, I'm really satisfied where we're at together in this offering. And then I told you what happens is, you know, it talks about atonement and being accepted and all that. And so I gave the breakup of the word of atonement of at-one-ment. So God's whole purpose in this is bring us together as one, all right? So that's his whole purpose in doing this. Now we have five offerings recorded in the first 7 chapters of Leviticus. So all 5 are a type or a shadow of something under the law that was to communicate things in reference to Jesus Christ. Now, many of us sitting here tonight, I know this, but it's always good to go back over this and understand the value that God's placed on some of these things so that when we get to the things that are discussed, primarily as we're working through the book of Hebrews, where it's all about the priest, the high priest, you know, and the sacrificial system, we can make the connection. You got to understand, that stuff was written to Hebrews back then, and the writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is moving him from a physical system into a spiritual and attaching and appraising value all the way through so that they can grasp what they have a hold of. Same thing's true for us, okay? Same thing's true for us. So let's just go back to the beginning of the book. Let's just kind of work through some things, some thoughts as we go along, some concepts, some principles. So the Lord called to Moses, spoke to him from the tent of meeting. Remember, he gave him the law on the mountain, the ordinances, came down. Now he's going to talk to him about service and worship. And where's he speaking from? The tent of meeting. And where was God's presence in the tent of meeting? Back in the Holy of Holies, right? We saw that at the end of Exodus when his presence came down. The glory filled the tabernacle, the tent, chased everybody out, nobody allowed in there. Right? So where did he speak to Moses? When you read later on in the scripture, it says he spoke to him from above, right? The mercy seat between the cherubim. Isn't it interesting? He introduces the sacrificial law and the system that's designed around that, and it's going to be communicated from the seat that's called the mercy seat. So right away you see the concept that this is where God's going to extend his mercy to his people. Okay, there's that concept that's present right there. He says, when any man of you brings an offering, or you should bring your offering of animals from the herd of the flock. Offering, ola. That word in the Hebrew means it's an ascending sacrifice in flame. Okay? And the sweet savor is like an incense that goes up, or that soothing aroma that goes up, right? It's an ascending sacrifice. Obviously, we understand everything we do is ascending, right? Right? So those are some types that we want to make sure that we get firmly set in our mind. Right? Now, we need to understand that this section of Leviticus, burnt offerings are mentioned in many places in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, okay, the first five books. It's actually burnt offering shows up the very first time in Genesis 8. So, I mean, this isn't a concept that's foreign, all right? But this is in reference to not the ones that are done on Sabbath days, and, you know, and every day, and new moon, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But this is the individual. This is not a required offering. Notice it says, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, has nothing to do with sin here. That's not specifically lined out here that you're doing this because of sin. It's just saying if you bring it, you bring your offering of animals, if it's a burnt offering, from the herd of the flock. Okay? Male without defect. Why male? Okay, well, you know, who is going to be the Savior of the world? It's going to be the Son of Man. Okay? So, you know, strength of the male is being communicated here. So you're going to see kind of a classification in that culture, in the cultures of that time, that the male was the one that was with the strength, the one who guarded, the one who provided, all the various things that the male was expected to do in all kinds of cultures at that time in the world. So that's why he's using this. He's saying, you know, this is the one that provides the most, does the most. If we're going to look at a value system, we're going to say the guy's pretty valuable up here. Not to say that ladies producing offspring are not important. Very important. You'll see that female sheep and goat are going to be actually prescribed for certain offerings as we go through this. So it's not like guy against gal. This is just God, again, arrangement of order in his creation is always running as a thread throughout the scripture and always being laid out. So he's always telling the guys, you're ultimately responsible for your household, men. You're responsible, right? So, all right, so let me see. I said there's other, and I'm just going to give you some passages you can look up where burnt offerings are talked about. Exodus 29, 38 to 42, and then you're going to have several mentioned, the regular Sabbath, the new moons in Numbers 28, 9 to 11. There's more in those chapters. You can go on to where in the feast days the burnt offering's offered as well, but you'll see it's offered in a little different order. Other things have to be taken care of sometimes, like on the Day of Atonement, which, as I said before, I know that Lorenzo will get a chance to go through very, very clearly and deeply, I hope, and bring out all those types. Okay, so again, this is totally voluntary. It's prompted by the conscience or the desire of the individual to want to be right, accepted, understand he's accepted before Yahweh, before God, right? So this is, you know, just another symbol of the individual submitting themselves to God. What is worship at its core? Submission. Submission. It's just a voluntary, I willingly come to you and lay this down before you. That's what we're called to do, and we know that we can look at Romans 12, and that's clear that, you know, we present our bodies as a holy and living sacrifice. But we submit ourselves to the law of God, and it's in line with the purpose of God. Just turn over to John real quick, John 10. This is Jesus. Many of us are pretty familiar with this chapter. You know, see, burnt offering, you're going to bring a valuable male ox or bullock from your herd, and you're going to offer it. Now, obviously, an ox or bullock could be more valuable, it seems like, in that culture in those times, than like sheep and goats, which were more plentiful. Okay, and it can do more. We'll talk about that momentarily. John 10. Jesus says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. All right, so I'm going to lay down my life. All right, it's an attitude the Lord wants to see in your offering. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me. Why? Because I lay down my life, so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. See, there's a concept of a burnt offering, a sacrifice being communicated here. Understand, when Jesus is saying these things to the Jews, this is going to resonate. Okay, I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. So obviously he's kind of piquing their interest. What do you mean here? You know. So what do you mean lay it down, take it up? He's talking about his resurrection, which seems like most of the time individuals didn't quite get that. But still, behind all these things we see in the New Testament is all kinds of sacrificial language. It's just running through. And it's always, you know, looking back at what they would understand in that sacrificial system, and that's how value and appraisal is being made all the way through on what he's going to do for them and how we should understand it, okay? Like I said, the burnt offerings were first offered in Genesis 8. That's where you're going to see this word first show up, okay? Genesis 8, and that's going to be in verse 21. We're not going to go there. You can go check it out. It's when they got off the ark and Noah offered up the burnt offerings, okay? God saw the offering. Said, I like this. You can go back, it's the same thing. It's a sweet savor. It's a, you know, it's a soothing aroma to God. What's he saying? Everything's good. I like this, right? I am satisfied at rest with what's going on. Right? So, all right. So let's look at verse 4. So the guy brings it. Verse 4, it says, he, this is the one who brings the offering. We'll call him the offerer, or we can refer to him as the offender, you know. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering that may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. Now, the Hebrew here, if you're getting the word which says lay his hands on there, the Hebrew accentuates in the language there that he's not just going like, you know, like the evangel, you know, the TV and radio preachers, just put your hand on the radio, brothers and sisters, you know. You know, just lay your hand. No, this is a picture. This guy is pushing down hard on the head of this offering. He's like, I want you to, Lord, I am transferring everything here, and I am identifying big time. So there's an idea, there's pressure. He's trying to really push down on that animal's head. So this isn't just a, you know, it's there. So we should notice it. We should notice it. It's in the language. All right, so after he does that, okay, he's going to be accepted, all right? Then he says, he, the guy who brought the offering, shall slay the young bull, the bullock, before Yahweh. So now the guy that brought it has to kill it, all right? And then it says, and Aaron's sons of the priest shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood around on the altar, bronze altar, that is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So he cuts its throat, has to kill the animal. They catch the blood, they go over to the altar, and they splash it around the altar, all four sides of the altar. They go around it, right? Complete covering, complete sprinkling, all right? You can think of several things, probably in 1 Peter and Hebrews 10 that should come to mind. You know, our hearts sprinkled clean, you know, clean conscience, all right? All that stuff in Hebrews is sacrificial language. Taking the Hebrew back to this is, you know, this is what happens when this blood goes on the altar, right? So that's what's going on here, right? So he sprinkles the blood, the priest does, around the altar, door of the tent of the meeting. And then it goes back to he shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. It's the offerer that's doing this again, not the priest. Look at the use of the language and it tells you this. He shall lay his hand. He shall slay the young bull. And Aaron's sons of priests shall offer it. Okay? He shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar. See how the language is alternating between he and the sons of Aaron? Very clear delineation here. Catching that? Hope you are. So not only do you have to kill the animal, now you got to flay this thing, all right? You've got to, you know, I got all kinds of things in my head start running through from the New Testament, you know. While we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. I mean, you know, you're flaying this animal. And you're going to make sure that it gets laid on the altar. And that's going to be done by the priest, okay? The sons of the Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and range wood on the fire. It means they're adjusting it, okay? You can look at Leviticus 6. I'm going fast because of time. And there was always supposed to be fire on the altar. So it appears here either it's the first time the offering is going to be made with the sacrificial system set up here that's being spoken of, or it's just they're rearranging the coals and getting things going again so it'll have enough heat and flame to burn this burnt offering, okay? Verse 8, then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the piece is the head and the suet, over the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. So it's interesting. The guy would cut it up. We don't know if he quartered it, did more than that. There's tradition that says what they did, but they would cut up. And then the priest would take the animal and reassemble it just like it was anatomically. Head, shoulder, midsection. That's how they would do it. That's what that word in the Hebrew there, arrange, means like an order, to place it in order. So the anatomically, that it would get cut up and then reassembled loosely. It's not actually together, but laid out. All right? Kind of interesting, right? And then we know that the hide, you know, would go to the priest. You can check that out. It's in later part, and we'll get to that. And I think it's Leviticus 6 is where that is. Okay? All right, so its entrails, however, verse 9, its legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall offer up in smoke all of it on the altar. Offer up in smoke all on it. Okay, in some translations, if you have King James, I don't know if the New King James is, but the King James says offer it up in fire. There's three different Hebrew words used for fire as we're going to go through these offerings, these sacrifices, and I'll break them down. This is the one that talks about it's a slow burning, takes a while to consume the whole thing that's laid on the altar. Others are like, you know, a complete, quick destruction type of deal. We'll get to those words when it's time. But this one here is just when it says, you know, offered up in smoke, it's being burned at such a rate, slow enough rate, that it's offering up a fragrant aroma. I think of when we barbecue, you know, when it's done right, you know, that smoke's coming off the barbecue, you're like, that smells good, right? I don't think the blood and the guts and all that smells so good, but when, you know, when you get a good fine piece of meat cooking, it smells pretty good. I mean, those of us that like meat, okay? All right, so anyway, the priest is going to offer this up in smoke, all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire, and it's a soothing aroma. The Lord, again, he's like, oh, I really like the way this is going down. That's the way we want to see this. We're looking at they're looking at how do we please the Lord? How do he accept me? Oh, by the way, the offering, I skipped that part. I want to talk about this. Back in the beginning, it says, if the sons of Israel, verse 2, any of you brings an offering, that's the word Corbin. And we see Jesus use that in the New Testament, you know. You declare all these things, you bring Corbin so you don't have to take care of your mom and dad. Given to God. Now that root of the word Corbin actually has the idea of the concept of not only being accepted, but it allows you to draw near. And last Wednesday, Mr. Serrano was going through stuff in Hebrews and he was, you know, doing all he could to emphasize drawing near. That's what the Hebrew letter was helping these guys. You have drawn near. All of you get to draw near. And we don't have any idea what that meant to him because we've never been under that system where it's gradual separation under the law. Only the high priest into the Holy of Holies. Only the priest in the holy place. You know, only as far as the bronze altar for the individual that offered the sacrifice. That's as far as you could go. If you wanted to go in the tabernacle temple, you had to be a priest. Otherwise, everything was out of here. Just at the entrance or at the altar, and that's it. No closer. Graduated separation. Hebrews, book of Hebrews, and what's being communicated, even in this burnt offering, is I'm drawing you nearer. I'm bringing you nearer. See, we've never been under that system. We don't understand it. Somebody you love, you're very close to, imagine you could never stand right next to them. Imagine that. That you yearned for with everything you have. No, you can only come this far. See, that's not fair. That's not right. Yeah. But God's trying to also communicate, this is what happens with sin and rebellion. It separates you from me, right? Okay, so I'm going to draw you near through sacrifices, and he's trying to teach him those concepts because he's going to upgrade it. He knows when he brings the new covenant into being, right? So we flayed him. All right, so why? I've had somebody ask me this several times. All right, why did he wash the entrails, the insides, and the legs? Okay, what's the concept of the new covenant? Jesus said what? Cleanse the inside of the cup first, right? Then the outside will follow, right? So when they're washing the inside, everything's a purity play going on here. So he's washing the insides, and the reason he's doing that, and the reason they were flayed as well, is so that they could reveal to the people that brought the offering, and they could reveal to the priest offering it to God, physically no defect, look inside, no defect, Mr. Priest, everything's good. As I'm cleansing this and everything's laid out, you can see there's no defects. Everything's perfect here that I'm offering up. And then the washing, of course, you know, we can equate that with purity, and you know, we're washed as priests, right? The priests were washed. The offering's washed. We can see all these things developed in the New Testament all over the place, and it's all pointing back saying, I did this in the physical first, so you'd be able to appreciate and value and then see how much better you got it in the spiritual. Otherwise, we take these things for granted. We will, all right? So, again, and the legs, what did the animal walk on? Leg, purity inside, purity in walk. Okay? Is it that? I mean, there's symbolism here. It's being expressed through the offering of this sacrifice. Make sense to you guys? Okay? Right? And it's all what? Revealed in the New Testament for us. Walk in a manner worthy, holy and blameless, spotless. All this terminology in the New Testament comes right out of the Old Testament sacrificial system so that we can make the proper appraisal of what we've been given, right? All right, sure, you guys are going, yeah, right? All right, now notice the alternating action, like I told you. Then the sons of Aaron, then the sons of Aaron. So what do we got going on? We got an offer and a priest, or the layperson and the priest, actively engaged in the sacrifice. Let me see, we're the people of God and the priests of God. And what are we involved in doing? Offering up sacrifices acceptable to God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Sure. Right, so this is what's going on. All of this is important. We take it for granted. We've heard it so much, but we don't put ourselves back there. What they were under, understand the shattering nature of this change in things when the new covenant came. All right, because we've never been exposed to it or under it. We ever lose our freedom, truly lose our freedom, we'll start to understand some of these things. We will. Okay, so just trying to make sure I get the... Oh, so we did the sheep and the goats, same thing, right? I'm not going to go into that real heavily, but the same process with the sheep, goats. And we go to the birds. Now, this is different. You'll notice when this is taking place, it says, but if his offering to Yahweh or to the I Am is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering from the turtle doves, or a dove, or from a young pigeon. Young pigeons were more plentiful. Turtle doves. Doves were more seasonal. Okay? That's why the dual option on the offering. All right? But it seems like the young pigeons were more plentiful from what I've been able to read in that geographic location. So the priest, now notice the priest shall bring it. The offer is out of the way, isn't it? This is much more... minutia, you know, a little bit more, well, minutia is just the best word I can tell you. It's more detail work. It's smaller, so it's got to be done a little bit more, you know, accurately. So the priest is in there rather than getting two hands involved. God says, all right, priest, you're going to do the birds, right? And so you see that with so little of the blood that there's a little difference with the blood, right? The blood just on the altar, it says, right? So... drained out on the side of the altar. Notice not all the way around. So there's less blood, but, you know. And then he shall also take away its crop. That's a little deal that when they swallow stuff, that kind of holds things in a kind of a standby situation, like we'll call the second gullet. So he would cut the bird open, pull that out where that gullet is of the unprocessed or undigested food that they could either burp back up for their babies or eat themselves. I know it's kind of gross when we think about it, but and then pull the feathers of that section off. Otherwise, everything stayed on. Split them open, wings on, ring the head off, all right? I know you just love this picture, right? But, you know, where there's sin and rebellion, there's blood. Somebody dies, okay? Now, this isn't about sin here, but that's the system that brought the sacrificial, or that's the reason the sacrificial system was brought into being, because of sin, all right? So he tears it by the wings, but does not sever it. Priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the wood, which is on the fire, burnt offering, soothing offering for, you know, to the Lord. A soothing aroma, not offering, soothing aroma to the Lord. All right, so, all right, I already told you what soothing aroma meant, so I don't need to go over that again, I don't believe. All right, so the other reason that you'll hear people say why they think the priests were involved. Remember, you have almost like classes of people coming. Ox, bullock, more valuable. Why? Okay, I'll tell you. I told you I was going to mention this. An ox could do all kinds of service in an agricultural setting, right? Grind out grain. You know, they put an ox on. Well, you know, you shall not muzzle the ox. Well, you know, right? So the ox was very valuable to a family. It did a lot of service for the family, right? And then the last thing it would do, if it was a young ox in its short life, or it could be a little older, it would be offered up as a burnt offering. If it was the best that he had, that's what would go. Sheep, and goats, you know, more prevalent, more prominent. So you kind of see a value system. And then you got the poor who don't have either. But God says, we got a system that we're going to let the poor make their offering. And that's teach the priests and everybody else involved in this. The poor are just as valuable. I've made a way for them. And he makes it a meticulous process. So the priests in the brain are going, I go through all this because these people, the poor, matter too. Okay? It isn't just about the guy that can bring the ox or the people that are well off enough in the middle class, shall we say. This is my terminology, not in the Bible. Okay, to bring a sheep or a goat. What about the poor? If they want to bring a burnt offering, they can bring this. And so that we see that's what was offered when Jesus was born. That's part of the process when a child is born. It takes place under the law as well. So I wanted to throw those out for you while I had it. Now turn over to Psalm 50. We are almost done, believe it or not. I wanted to go fast. I told you what I did this. I was just going to bring main stuff to you, kind of get your, you know, your, shall we say, your curious juices flowing to where you might want to check more of this stuff out on your own. Psalm 50. All right. And you probably have a heading on this as God the judge of the righteous and the wicked. We're going to pick it up in verse 9. All right. Well, verse 7 says, "Hear, O my people, I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I am Elohim, Elohim. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." Sacrificial language. See this? What's he talking about? Bulls, goats, represent goats and sheep, birds. There it is right there. Burnt offerings. Right? He's talking. There's a system right there. Now, three quick ones just to show you. Even though the burnt offering and everything was a great way for the individual to understand he was being accepted before God, God would accept it if it was brought and done right, there were still things that he used the burnt offering to contrast, say, this is what I really desire. So many of us are familiar with these two. Let's start with 1 Samuel 15, and we're going to go quick through three of them. 1 Samuel 15. This is when Samuel came to Saul after Saul had made an improper sacrifice. See, so you could do the sacrifice. If you weren't doing it for the right reason, God's not happy. Verse 22 of Psalm, 1 Samuel 15. Samuel said, "Has Yahweh as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." See, burnt offering's a great thing, isn't it? But here, under the law, during the time of Samuel, Saul, what's he saying? I like them sacrifices, but here's what I like better, to obey. Okay? Over to Hosea 6. Hosea, can you see what the Lord said to me? Right? You guys got her? Hosea's right after Daniel. We've been studying Daniel. Be easy for you to find. Hosea 6. Some really good stuff in the beginning, but we'll go to verse 6. "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God." See, all these sacrifices are ultimately supposed to do what? Here's what I like better, to obey, and your knowledge of me is what I really like, so I'm going to use sacrifices. But if you miss it, I'm going to remind you, that's not going to cut it with me. This is, I mean, offering just a sacrifice with the wrong attitude. To obey and knowledge of God, and then, of course, in Mark, we'll just try and finish it up with Mark 12 here. We might have one more little thing I need to make mention of. Just checking my notes, make sure I got all the main stuff. Yeah. Looks like it. All right. Mark 12. Verse 32. The scribe said to him, "Right, teacher," after Jesus, said, okay, was asked, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" And Jesus said, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' The scribe said to him," Jesus, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one and there is no one else beside him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, knowledge, and with all the strength, all right, and then to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Those were a great system done rightly, but God says, here's what's better. So I wanted to give you some information on that, some things to contemplate, think about. Maybe get you started on looking at this on your own, see what other things you might be able to draw forth. And then next week, because I'm up next week again, we'll start in on the grain offering. If we go through that fast, we might be able to start in on the peace offering. So I'm not going to go too fast, but based on what time I got, that'll determine how quickly we go through things. So thanks for your attention tonight. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you again that you have used the physical things, the types, to communicate to us really the spiritual concepts and principles that you desired us to properly receive, appraise, and value. So, Lord, I'm just grateful again for the word preserved, for the types and the foreshadows that we get to take a look at and learn about, particularly here as we're studying through the letter to the Hebrews, Lord. It's a good time to take the opportunity to look at the sacrificial system as a whole and understand that all of these were types or shadows in some form of what you, Lord Jesus, were willing to do as a sacrifice for us. You offered up yourself willingly. You exposed yourself completely. You were of no internal defect without any kind of blame, sin, anything that could be said of you. Inside and out, you were the perfect sacrifice. You were willing to lay down your life for us. And you have left that example for us so that we would understand that you don't want us to die. You want us to live as a sacrifice for you so that we would present our bodies holy and a living sacrifice, burnt offering. All day long, we are on that proverbial altar offering ourselves for you. So thank you again, Lord, for all that you give us that helps us to move from the physical to the spiritual and in the process, rightly assess all things, that it may give glory and honor to you and help us to understand who you've made us to be as your people and the incredibly positive position that we hold as your people that you've sought to communicate to us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray for the brethren tonight. We'd all be able to head out of here and get home safely. Whatever days we're given, that you would allow us to use them well to serve you and to serve others. We ask this, that you would be glorified. It is to you, Lord Jesus, that I offer up this prayer. You are the Christ. Amen.